Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh boy, I think everybody's asleep this morning. There's been the summer cold has been ravaging through our family, so maybe everybody just lost their voice and can't say good morning this morning like us. Anyway, thanks for being here today, and for those of you tuning in online, we're glad you're joining us. We are taking a little break from our normal series to do a standalone message, and today's message is titled Seasons. So when we think of the word season, what comes to mind? Maybe first is your favorite season. I mean, everyone has one, and there are certain things that go along with that season, right? Let's start with what you might perceive as the least favorite season, winter. Why would anyone like winter? Shorter days, cold air, snow, ice, you name it. But do you know there are people who live for those months, who love winter? They love skiing, they love the Christmas in the air, they love enjoying a nice cup of soup or coffee on a cold winter day. There's more time with family indoors, and while the days might be shorter, there's more opportunity to gather around a table together. So winter has its benefits. The converse of that is summer, right? Everybody loves summer, right? You know, the long days, the beach, the vacations, warm air, and all the activities that go along with it. But I'm going to submit there's some reasons to dislike summer. Like the humidity, and the crowds, and the extreme heat, and the effects of the sun, and then there's no rain, and when the rain does come, the severity of the storms does all kinds of damage. I mean, you name it. So with every season, there are positives and negatives. There are highs and lows. So, how do we judge whether one's better than the other? Or that this season is more preferable over that one? Why did God even make seasons? Because every season has a purpose. And how we view it may be exactly what God wants us to learn. How many of us love every season? No hands in the room. Today, the thesis I want to promote is this. Seasons are not meant to only enjoy, but to shape us. See, every season, regardless of how we perceive it, is meant to mold us into something. The factors around us are not just by chance, but part of a grander plan. Too often we see a season as something to get through or to endure rather than something useful. This is true for the celestial seasons. In fact, in every season we jump into the middle of a cycle that begins year after year. There really is no beginning other than when God created the first season. So let's just start with winter. In winter it seems as though nothing is happening. Everything seems dead. There's no leaves on the tree. It's cold. There seems to be very little life around. We just want to get on to the next season, which is spring, when it's obvious that things are happening. It just seems like winter's purpose is just to be blah. But I want to submit some things to you. Because when the cold comes, it kills the bugs. Yeah, some of you are excited about that. It kills all those pesky mosquitoes and the many bugs that are around. And the winter seals in the ground seeds left from the fall, creating the opportunity for new life. Often in the winter, snow comes, and instead of the heavy rains, it's gentle and accumulating. And it takes a long time for it to go away. It doesn't just usually melt right away. It stays on the ground and slowly dissipates, filtering into the soil, building up the aquifer, instead of just running off. Winter gives the farmer a break from the long days and the hard work of all the other seasons, allowing him a chance to catch up on maintenance and rest. And once we get through winter, then we enter into spring. And it all starts like 100 miles an hour. It's crazy. Because what comes forth in spring is all the seeds that fell down in the fall and have been dormant over the winter now spring to life as the ground warms and the spring rains come. And there's this newness about everything. New life is all around as animals emerge from hibernations. Birds migrate back to as food becomes more available. Yes, when the bugs reappear. And the world seems to burst into life. There is color and life everywhere you look in the spring. And there's plenty of rain to give everything that fresh start that it needs to take root. Flowers bloom, which are often the beginnings of fruit for that which will be produced over the summer months. And then summer comes and it brings the heavy morning dews and the results of the bloom. Many plants produce something to multiply. Animals grow as the food supply is plentiful, and the hot days make creation once again pause for a break after the busyness of the spring months. Then before we know it, fall's here. The preparation for winter begins. Once again, the colors burst forth to remind us there is hope of renewal, and that even as things pass away, there is beauty in the final moments. The produce of the plants that go unused falls to the ground, and as the leaves fall, they cover it, often leaving it under it a seed that will lay dormant for the months as winter and snow covers it and waters it. See, there's a purpose to every season. There's a purpose to everything. And the cycle continues over and over and over again. We don't have to do anything to make the cycle start. God did that in the beginning. The celestial seasons were created by God for a purpose. In Genesis 1, verses 14 and 15, it says this, God said, "Then let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth." Now you might think, why has he spent all this time explaining how the seasons work? Most of us know that, right? Or maybe you hadn't really thought about it. Too often, we're too busy thinking about just our own lives that we forget that there's things occurring all around us that have a purpose and a reason. There's meaning behind them. How often do we really slow down enough to consider right now, in this moment, is part of a grander plan, even in terms of a celestial season? But what if the application of this principle applies to more than just celestial seasons? What if the principle holds true for us in life? At first, there is nothing. As a child, especially as a baby, our awareness to what is around us is very limited at best. Let's consider for a minute the purpose of seasons of life. Our main purpose is to grow, to learn, to mature. These years are where we learn basic living skills and the ability to take care of ourselves. First season. Then there's the teenage years. These are the years where we explore things. We test the waters to see what will happen. And not always do those years end with a positive outcome based on the people that we put around us and the decisions that we make during those times. But if we get through those, then the young adult years come and we begin to settle in. We figure out how to survive apart from mom and dad. And some, for some, this can last well into their 30s. Often it's in these young adult years we find love, a career path, and begin to work hard to achieve what will make us happy. Then we start families of our own and begin to teach them the things we have learned, all the while still growing and maturing ourselves. As the children grow up and move out on their own, we once again begin to wonder, what will we do? What's our purpose now? The empty nest years, when a lot of people double down and they start to focus on their remaining years and try to make them the most powerful. It is said that people between 60 and 80 are more productive than any other time in their life. Think about that. So if you're approaching that mark, or if you're in that mark, these are your most productive years that you're heading towards or you're in. And then come the final years where we once again become dependent upon people to live. The final years where we get to reflect on how our life was lived. But what if there's even more to this than we see here? It's often said by older people, I don't know why I'm still here. I can remember my grandmother saying that in her 80s and in her 90s. I don't know why the Lord has let me live this long. I don't understand why I'm still here. And I've also heard it said, when a younger person is taken, it was too soon, they didn't get to live their life. But what if there's a deeper purpose to life that we're meant to achieve regardless of our age? See, Solomon wrote these words in Ecclesiastes 3 about the seasons of life. He said, there is a time for everything, a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. So what do workers gain from their toil, Solomon asks. He says, I have seen the burden of God that God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. In other words, what Solomon is saying is that there's a purpose to seasons. Oh, have you heard it said, oh, we need to love. We should just love all the time. And there should be no war. There should be peace. Solomon says no. Oh, wipe away those tears. There should be tears of joy and not sadness. Solomon says no. There are seasons in life that form and shape us. They're there for a purpose. Yes, God has given us this life to live, but if it is only for these things, then I think we can understand the torment in Solomon's heart. In this passage, his whole premise is this the point to life? Has anybody ever felt that? Is this the point of life? I'm going through all these stupid things and they just don't make sense. Or I feel like I'm a wave tossed back and forth, or a boat back and forth in the sea by the waves. So what's the point of life? In the constant chaos of our world, the reality of his statements are the flavor of the day, maybe even the hour. If we are simply here to consume and try to do good, then what's the point? But if there is more, if there is something to strive for, then maybe there is a point. Would God create his most prized possession, creation, us, to simply be a part of a cycle of life? Think about that question. If we're just like the plants and the animals, then what's the point of life? Why did he create us special? Why did he set us above them? Why did he send his son to die for us? He didn't send his son to die for the plants and the animals. God sent his one and only son to die for his creation, mankind. Because he has a grander plan in mind. He has eternity in mind for the human soul. There is a purpose for every season. When I consider how the disciples lived their life, it's easy to compare myself to them and go, I haven't achieved that yet. How many of you feel like you've achieved the pinnacle of your life? You've reached the point and now you're on your way downhill. So that means that we're all striving to get somewhere still, right? We're all looking forward, thinking that there's still something up ahead. There's a mountain up there that we have yet to rise up and accomplish and come over to see what we can see. And when I look at Paul, he reminds me that the challenge is there every day to live a life worthy of the calling, as he said in Ephesians 4. And when I was thinking about what Paul wrote to the church in Galatia, it reminded me that that's kind of the goalpost. What he says here in Galatians 5 is the goalpost of the Christian life. It's the finish line. It's what you're striving for. So if you're a writer, take note of each of these and write them down on the side of your page because you're going to make a little chart with them. In Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23, he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." So as you can see, you want to make a few columns next to the words. See, my guess is that if you went down that list and you made a little chart, and you went down with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness and self-control, that in the past column, at some point, you could check. Yep, I've shown love. Yep, I've shown joy. Yes, peace. Yes, patience. Yes. But then you move over to the present column and you go, how am I doing with love right now? How am I doing in the gentleness area or the kindness area? And you might be hesitant to check that box. Maybe for some of you, you're able to check all them again. You're doing good. But we get to the future box. And the future box is unknown, isn't it? The future box, you can't put anything in because you don't know what's up ahead. The future box, you can't say for sure that in that moment, in that circumstance, in that season, I will display patience. I will display kindness. I will display self-control. When that person cuts you off in traffic, how are you going to respond? That's another thing summer brings, is bad drivers. I'm just saying. Just saying. But if the goal is to be like Christ, that future box, the goal is to be able to check that off in every situation. And when we are full of the Spirit, then that is possible. That is the finish line. That is the goalpost of the Christian life. It may even be the purpose God has given us for this life. To live a life where you're able to exhibit the Spirit-controlled life. Because if we can exhibit these fruits of the Spirit, what's going to happen? What would the result be? I'm going to submit that it would be that the people will be drawn to Christ because of how we respond to situations and circumstances. But look, it can be hard with all the evil around us to remain Spirit-filled. But think of a world where these traits rule the day. Look, there is evil. There was evil happening yesterday. There'll be evil happening today. And there'll be evil happening tomorrow. But who are we going to blame? The president? Are we going to blame the person? Are we going to blame our government? Are we going to blame a gun? Who are we going to blame? We can't blame anyone except the one who is guilty of it, the one who has let the evil infiltrate themselves. So what do we do in those moments? Do we get so tanked up that we have to have a brand new president? There is no president that's going to fix the problems of the United States. End of story. There is no ruler who will fix the problems of the world. Until Jesus reigns. Because he is the one true king. The one we can expect to see fix the problems of the world. Do you know how he's going to fix them? I'm going to tell you how. He's going to remove one thing and one thing alone. Evil. And when Jesus removes the evil from this world, then things will be fixed. Until then, we cannot expect for evil to go away. See, I'm going to submit this morning that the church, if you hear the statistics, the church is in decline. There's less and less people attending church. Why do you think that is? Why do you think less and less people attend the church? Because I think they see less and less of Christ in the world. See, the church is not in decline because there aren't enough pastors. The church is not in decline because there aren't enough churches. The church is in decline because there are not enough followers filled with the Spirit displaying the fruits. That's why the church is in decline. So when you hear the news, when you get tanked up, the question is, what do you do with it? How do you respond? When you hear the news of the shooter yesterday, do you get angry? Do you go, man, it needs justice, man. We need to do something. Or do you sit down and you go, God, there's people hurting right now. There's the people that he hurt that are hurting, all those families, the people who are injured. They didn't deserve that. God, you know that. But be with them. And as for the shooter, what has happened in his past that would cause him to rise up and do such evil? Lord, send someone, maybe me, to be an influence in that young man's life. Let's stop blaming everybody else and start stepping up and saying, we're the villains that are going to fix it. We're the ones with Christ in us. We need to have a clear purpose and a clear direction to lead people to Christ. Because we need to remember that regardless of the season that we're in, there is a purpose to it. I saw this video about this woman named Ellie. And she had cancer and her son was very young, like maybe 9 or 10. And as she was going through this process, she knew that she was going to die. And she brought all these people around for her 40th birthday to have a celebration, not for her birthday, but of life. And how her life had intersected with those people's lives. How many of us forget to tell people while they're living what we think about them? How many of us just are so busy with our season that we just forget about everything else around us? The reality is that seasons are cyclical. They come around over and over again. How are we going to respond to them? See, each season has a reason and a purpose for which to propel us forward. It's not meant to hold you back. It's meant to move us. There's a pre-designed plan that involves all the things that we go through, all the seasons of life we experience, all the circumstances, all the situations, the good and the bad. The question is not if we'll respond, but how we'll respond. So we need to embrace those seasons, and we need to prepare for what God wants to reveal in and through them and us as we live it out. Because the next season, it's right around the corner. It's inevitable. It's coming sooner than we think. Seasons are meant to do four things. Number one, they're meant to prepare us. They're meant to prepare us for what's ahead. Look, if you didn't go through the season of knowing how to take care of yourself, how could you ever become a teenager to do things on your own? How could you ever become a young adult? How could you ever become a parent to teach your kids? If you never went through that season, you wouldn't know. The same is true in life. You have to go through a season because there is a purpose in it. It's to prepare you for something else that's coming down the road. There may be someone else that needs you to help them get through that season that you've already gone through. And look, a season that we go through is not meant to leave us the same. It's meant to mold us. It's meant to shape us. Too often we think that we should get through this season. We just got to get through and get through and get through it. And look, I don't know. You know, around here, seasons last, what, 3 months? Seasons of life don't have that kind of rhythm to them. Sometimes God leaves us in a season until we get molded. Because you can't move from one season to the next until you're ready. Until you've been changed. Until you've hit rock bottom. Until you've learned the lesson in the season. He doesn't move you from here to there just because. This isn't like school where they got to push so many people through. God's not like that. He's going to keep you in that place, in that season, until you are ready. Until you've been molded for what He wants to do in your life. And sometimes that season is used to reveal the truth. The truth about who we are, about what we feel, about what we think, about what motivates us, about what needs a change in us. It's not always easy. In fact, I'm going to submit that most people who are in certain seasons are just chomping at the bit to get out of them because hearing the truth about where they are is not easy to hear. Sometimes we go through seasons because God wants to use it to prepare us for what He's got down the road. I can tell you story after story, testimony after testimony about people who've been through rough seasons, tough stuff. They've had to look themselves in the mirror and go, I don't get it. Why I had to go through that? I was reading this article this week about a man of faith who has turned from God in this rough season of his life. He divorced his wife. He walked away from the faith. He's like, I want nothing to do with God. And you know, I sat there for a few minutes and I just kind of wept. And I went, God, don't ever get me to that season. Because I guarantee you, God's not done with him. That's not over. This is a season that he's in, but it's not over. He hasn't had the truth revealed to him yet. He hasn't seen it in himself. But when he does, he's going to come out of that season and go, how'd I get there? And my prayer is that there'll be reconciliation between him and God and between him and the people that he hurt in that season. See, the question is, how do we endure the season? How are we going to endure it? Are we going to like just wallow in it and let it beat us up? Or are we going to learn from it? Are we going to take from it what we need to do to get to the next level? And will we let it empower us for what's ahead? Because that's what seasons are meant to do. They're meant to empower us, to give us the strength to keep going. Because seasons are meant for renewal. Think about the celestial seasons. They prepare things for the next season. Every one of them. The seasons in our life are the same way. They're meant to get us ready. To give us what we need. They're not meant to hold you back. They're not meant to hurt you. So maybe you're asking God today, God, why am I in this season? Why am I in this place? And if you're not asking that question today, I bet you'll be asking it sometime in the future. I just want to remind you that God's not left you in that season. He's not forsaken you. He's not forgotten you. But He does have a purpose in it. And the best thing that we can do to prepare for that upcoming season is to draw closer to Jesus, to trust Him, to know that He's with us in it and through it, and that He's not going to leave us. So maybe you're in a season right now where you're finding it difficult to get through it. Maybe you're in a season right now where you're struggling with the reality that's around you. I'd encourage you to reach out to someone and ask them to pray for you. Ask them to walk with you through it, because seasons are not meant to go through alone. See, if you think about seasons, there are all kinds of factors that filter in that make it work. And I think God has put people in our lives to help us get through certain seasons. Just make sure it's the right people. Make sure it's people who are following Christ themselves, who have wisdom. And who can help you, who will pray for you. Not just say they're going to pray for you, but will pray for you. Because they will help you get through that rough season. If you are somebody tuning in on Facebook today or online, and you're checking out this message and you're in a rough season, send us a message. Contact us through email. Let us know. We'll send someone out to meet with you. We'll do whatever we can to help you walk through this season. You're not meant to be alone. God wants to draw you in. The season is not meant to close you off. It's meant to open up new doors to the next season. So don't isolate yourself. Stay connected. Stay empowered. And let the truth come out. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You that You are a God of order. It's obvious in the seasons how the cycle goes on without us having to do anything in regards to making it happen. We can't change from one season to the other despite the fact we might like one more than the other. And that's true in the seasons of life. You've got us in a season, whatever it is, for a reason. And I pray for those who are struggling in the season that they're in right now, that You would make Yourself known, visible, present to them in a real tangible way. That You would help them to walk through this and help them to see what You want them to see. Some of us just need patience in those seasons because they're long. So I pray for that You would help those who need the patience to have that. But most of all, I just ask that You would open our eyes to whatever You want us to see the change that needs to happen. Because we're not meant to stay the same. The whole premise of this message was that seasons are meant to mold us, to change us, to form us into something. Help us to be reminded of that always. And to remember that You're a God who's in control and has a grander plan. In Jesus' name, amen.